Good morning, everybody. It's been a while since I've been up here, but praise God I'm here. And I'm actually, wasn't that what worship powerful, wasn't it? Jen, I just wanted to jump out of my body. but, you know, God is good and, you know, yeah, that's right, Jeff, all the time. But this morning, I want to bring a word, and it's probably been a place of a journey where the Lord has taken me, and we're in this the series that we're called. It's called What's the Story, you know? And this morning, what's the story? But what's the story with the journey? And that's the title of the message this morning. What's the story with the journey? And, you know, for a lot of us here, we go through a journey. Doesn't matter who we are. All of us go through some journey in life. And the Lord showed me the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. But, you know, when they came out of slavery, the Lord brought them into the land. But they roamed the land for 40 years. For 40 years, they roamed the land. And you know, the Lord was trying to teach them humility. And he was also testing them. And he brought them to this place because he wanted to form their character. And they faced a lot of difficult nights, sometimes weeks and months at a time. One hardship after the other. And I'm sure, like the Israelites, we could compare some scars that they carried. And I'm sure that we could compare some battle scars ourselves. But, you know, when you take a journey, anyone that takes a journey or goes on a trip, you have this kind of excitement and anticipation in your spirit, don't you? You know, especially if you're going on holidays or if you're going to meet somebody down in Cork or, isn't that right, Chris? Yeah, you know, but you have this anticipation that you know that there's something at the other end. There's somebody waiting for you and you have an excitement in your spirit. Okay. But it's the same when we go on a spiritual journey. We have a curiosity in our spirits. We have this curiosity of what is actually God really doing? Is he actually going to meet my expectations? Can I now go further with God? Can I progress in this walk with God? Is my heart actually willing to work with the Holy Spirit? Is my heart willing to work with the Holy Spirit to accept change? You know, if you take a journey down to Cork on the train, you know, you might begin to complain about the noise levels. You might begin to complain about the staff on the train, people on the train. You know, you just begin to complain about everything that's going on that train. But, you know, we cannot control circumstances because at times that's what we try and do. Isn't that right? We try to control the circumstances. But God wants to say here this morning, we have to adapt. We have to adapt. We have to learn to adapt. We have to, you know what? Try and get to know those people on the train. Try and get to like them. Try and even learn from them. You know what? And even take in around us what that scenery is like. It's all about adapting. Our spiritual journey is the same. We've got to adapt to what God is calling us into. We've got to learn to become more Christ-like. When we do this walk, we have got to surrender. And I want to take a look at a scripture. And it's in Isaiah 53. And the guys are going to just put it up in a second. But just let's pray. Father, we come this morning, Lord. And Father, I just trust, Lord God, that what you want to bring out here this morning, Father, will not return void, Lord God. And Father, I just ask that you just begin, Holy Spirit, to prepare hearts and minds, and that you would just begin to settle that which is coming in to cause confusion and disruption. Father, we come now in the blood of Jesus, Father, and we say, kiss this place and soak this place, Father, with your word this morning, Lord God. And Father, we stand united this morning with France, Lord God, our neighbours, Father God. And Father, we sang about the goodness of God this morning. I declare it over that nation this morning, Father. Father, you are good. And Father, be with those, Father, that are grieving this morning, that are hopeless this morning. Father, will you let your church rise up in France this morning, Lord God, to do you justice, Father God, because it's not over, Lord. The story hasn't finished, Lord, because you are the resurrected King, Father. And Father, we give you glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah 53:2. Okay. Yeah, we have it. Okay. So we're going to take it up from line one. Who has believed our message? Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. You know, when you received Jesus Christ into your heart, when you invited him to come and live in your heart, you did that through faith, but you also did it through repentance. And when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, he wants to transform us. He wants to cultivate the character of God into our lives. And he begins to draw us and he begins to cultivate us in the walk that he's pursuing with us. You see, it's his strength that we need. And it's more and more and more of his strength that we need in the days that we're living in. You see, the Holy Spirit is faithful. He's faithful. And we have got to give up walking in our own strength. And we've got to trust that we allow the Holy Spirit bring us to that place that we're walking in his strength. You see, it's up to God to cause us to grow. And in Isaiah 53:2, Jesus is the perfect example in this piece of scripture. You see, in Isaiah 53:2, if we just bring that up there, Jamie, the arm of God was wrapped around the tender child. The arm of God was wrapped around the tender child. And Isaiah the prophet is telling us that Jesus grew up under the Lord's watchful eye. He grew up in a place that was full of disadvantages. It was a place that was ruled by the Roman Empire. It was a place that was under dictatorship. It was a harsh place. But it was also a place of religiosity, where you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of that rules and laws and regulations. And here was Jesus, this young boy, this tender shoe that grew up in this environment. And yet the Lord had his arm around him. From his youngest years, he lived out his life in the presence of God. Even from the time when King Herod reigned in the land. And King Herod was so threatened by this king that was rising up out of the ground. So what did Herod do? Herod began to order a massacre on the land, where he would take out boys as young as babies up to 2 years of age. And he wanted to wipe out all the babies and the young boys. Because, you see, Herod thought that Jesus was after his reign. But it wasn't his reign that Jesus was after. Yes, Jesus wanted to rule his heart. And even though this plot and this ransom was put on the life of Jesus, the Lord kept his eye on him. He had his powerful arm around him. When he was a young boy, a young adolescent, he grew up in the temple court. He loved the word of God. He desired the instruction and the obedience of the word of God. And he loved being in the house of God. He delighted to be in the house of God. And the Lord had his watchful eye on him. Here we have Jesus, who was a root out of dry ground. You see, the root out of dry ground is a barren place. It's a place of bewilderment. It's a place that's parched. It's a place that's occupied with drought. No spiritual atmosphere in this place. And out of this dry ground sprang up a marvelous root. You see, what the prophet Isaiah was trying to do, he was painting a picture. And it was a picture of the environment of where Jesus lived and what he came under. And you know, I began to think, you know, when you look in the desert, and you would never expect a tree to flourish in the desert, isn't that right? Because the heat and, you know, the pressure of the land, the barrenness of the land, and the only way that tree is going to flourish is unless it has some source underneath the ground, some connection of source that's going to help that tree grow and flourish. The environment that Jesus lived in, this environment that he grew up in, this tender plant, he could have been trampled on and he could have been crushed upon. And yet the Lord had his eye on him. Yet the Lord had his loving arms around the son. He grew up in a place from day to day with no nourishment. There was no life in this place. It was under rule. It was under dictatorship. It was under the Roman Empire, full of religion. And God kept him. God cultivated him through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it was God that was the source. God was his source. And for some of us here this morning, you know, we might struggle with how do I actually cultivate the character of God into my life. You know, God can take us to a place to grow. And that's why we need to know and accept that this tender root that sprang up out of the ground is for us. He's for us. You know, when a shepherd is given the responsibility to look after the sheep, before they actually become sheep, they're lambs. And he will watch over these sheep. He will guide them. He will nurture them. He will put them down in a place where they receive nourishment and food. And there's often times when the shepherd will have to pick up the baby lambs. And he will pick them up because they can only walk a certain distance. And it's just like the picture of when we first come to Jesus. When we come to him, he picks us up and he carries us. But you know, in the natural, a baby lamb, the shepherd has to set the baby lamb down. Otherwise, the lamb won't grow. And he sets him down in the meadows and in that green place of where he takes in nourishment and he takes in food so that the lamb will grow. And it says in Isaiah 40:11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. And he will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. This is what the Lord our shepherd does. He picks us up at times and he sets us down. He sets us down in spiritual fields to grow. He sets us down to graze in his word so that we grow. He sets us down to graze in our prayer time so that we connect with the Father, that we come into intimacy with the Father. He sets us down to graze through the worship, so that we come in again and we cross over the threshold and come into the throne room with the Father to give him adoration and praise. He sets us down in the forgiveness course. He puts us in those growth groups so that we become healed and we become transformed. Thank you. He sets us down. He sets us down in quiet places to grow and to hear his voice. This is what a Father does. He sets us down as lambs so that we graze. We graze in the meadows and we take in all the spiritual nourishment that we need. Okay, I just lost my notes. Sorry. But you know, at times on this journey, it's not easy. And there will be times, you know, and seasons on this journey where the Lord will take us out of the grassy fields. He will take us out of the grassy meadows. He will take us down from the mountaintop. And I mentioned earlier on about the children of Israel. And it's in Deuteronomy 8:2. And it says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling and teaching you and testing you to prove your character, to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. You know, if we're going to grow spiritually with God, he's going to lead us out of the grass meadows, and we have to get used to it. You know what? We all want to be in the grassy meadows and we all want to be that happy, clappy Christian, don't we? We do. We want to be there in that place where, yeah, God, everything is going great, you and me. But when he takes us out of the grassy meadows, we don't like it. And you know, when he takes us out, it's a time in our lives where we've no strength, where we're spiritually dry. We're in a place of weakness. But he can lead us to a place where we've no other choice but to totally, totally depend on him. You see, it's when we look to him, that's when we get the strength. Is that right? You see, it's places where we are in great weakness and we begin to realize, I can't carry myself anymore. This is when I look to God. This is when I look to him and say, Father, I need you. Father, I need you to strengthen me on the journey. Father, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you on this journey. You see, the journey to the wilderness is where God takes us. That's where we go. It's a place that's called training ground. And it happens to those who are faithful to God, who love living for God, who want to do God's will. It's a place where God brings us to humble us, to teach us, to test our character. It's a place where he brings us into, where he says, I want to take that anger out. I want to take pride out. I want to take that root of bitterness. I want to take self-pity out. I want to take unbelief out. It's a place where he brings us so that we are trained to keep our eyes fixed on the King. It's a place where he takes us so that we draw strength from the source. And you know, as believers, and I'm learning, none of us avoid this journey. None of us. It's a path that we're all going to take. It's a path that we all cross. It's a path that we all travel. It's in the place of the wilderness. It's where the rubber meets the road. Will I stay or will I go? It's a place where, you know, God brings us to exercise our faith. It's a place where you feel vulnerable, where you feel alone. It's a place where you feel, God, are you in this with me? I don't sense you, God. You're like a distant memory. You know, Lord, you're not even responding back to my prayers. Just a little bit of feedback, just so that I know that you're there. It's a place in my life, after doing this journey for 19 years, God is still teaching me. God is still teaching me to keep his eyes on him. It's not easy, but I'm learning. I'm learning that when I keep focused on him, that's where I get my strength. That's where the source of life begins to draw me in. You see, it's in the wilderness that it's revealed if we truly obey God, if we're up for the challenge. It's in this place, you see, at times where it's not easy. It's easy when we're grazing. It's easy when we're in the meadows. It's easy when we're on the mountaintops. But when we're in the wilderness, it's where God takes us to get stuff out of our heart. And when he says, you know, you might come up against a thing in your life where you say, Lord, I can't obey this. I can't obey this command that you're asking me to do. It's in this place where you look to him and draw strength. And just to give you an example, we can all be great at expressing kindness to people, showing humility to people, showing love to people. You know, and when people are going through stuff, we're right there with them, yeah? And we express love to them. But when the Lord brings someone across our path that has a bit of an attitude, we don't want to know. You know, and we question God and we say, why did you allow that? Why did you bring them across my path? This is a wilderness place. This is a place where the rubber meets the road. Am I going to love them or am I going to shoo? And yes, there will be times that we blow it. But Lord, I'm asking you to teach me. Teach me to love these people. Teach me to draw strength from you on this journey. You know, one of the characters that I like in the Bible is Peter. And you know, Peter was one of the apostles. He's one of the disciples that walked with Jesus. And you know, Peter was so headstrong that at times he would often blur out stuff before he would think. He was weak in the flesh. And you know, he denied Jesus 3 times. And Peter was also sifted out by the enemy. At times, Peter was spiritually lazy. You know, here was the king asking him to stay up and watch and pray. And what does he do? I'll take 40 winks here. You know, Peter, when he began to walk on the water, and the Lord called him and he walked on the water, and yeah, he was going great. He was gliding across the water. But he took his eyes off God. And when he took his eyes off God, he began to sink. And I believe some of us here have taken our eyes off God. And I believe the Lord has some, or some have entered into the wilderness. And I believe that God wants to take them out of the wilderness this morning. You see, the Lord can restore. He can restore. Because out of the dry ground, a marvelous root sprang up. A marvelous root sprang up. You see, when the Lord outstretched his arm to Peter, Peter humbled himself. Peter became this man of God that was powerful. He was bold. He was full of confidence. He was a great speaker. He preached to 3,000 believers on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 believers. Because of the root that sprang up out of the dry ground, Peter got his provision from God. He grew from strength to strength. And he was even instrumental in the first church that was orchestrated in Samaria. And you might be in that place this morning of bewilderment. And you're asking yourself, how do I overcome? How do I get back on the journey? I want to go back to that place of the green meadows. I want to go back and graze in the green meadows. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're in that place of the wilderness, you have to accept it. You have to accept that you're there, that the Spirit of God led you there. Because the Lord wants to teach you something. That's why he brought you there. You see, the Lord brings us to the wilderness to hide us from public view. Just like when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he went in full of the Spirit. Yes, he was tested. He was tested in the wilderness. The enemy came and tempted him. Yes, he was prepared that he might be empowered. When he was in the wilderness, he was getting prepared that he might be empowered. And when he came out of the desert, he was in power of the Spirit of God. You see, God was preparing him for a purpose. And the purpose was so that Jesus' earthly ministry would begin to rise and would begin to flourish on the earth. We've got to look at the wilderness as a symbol of new beginnings. You see, it's in this tough place that you receive strength and encouragement from God. And as you allow the Lord to take you on this journey, it might not become easier, and you need to know that. But your understanding of the wilderness experience will make sense to you. You see, because God's ultimate goal is that when we come out of the wilderness, that we come out with power. Amen. That we come out alive as Christians. That we come out reformed. That we come out restored into the plan and into the purpose of what God wants to do in our lives. But when we come out of the wilderness, we've got to remember there's an enemy that prowls around us like a roaring lion that's ready to sift us. But we've got to remember, who do I draw my strength from? Who is it that I draw my strength from? And you know, just to share, you know, personally, this has been a wilderness season for me the last couple of months. And I've struggled with the call of God in my life. I've struggled to go deeper with God. But God kept me. And there has been a hunger in my heart. There has been something deep rooted in my heart to walk with God. And just like Peter, when I look at Peter and I see his struggles, I see my struggles. When I look at Peter, I see his weaknesses and I see them in me. When I look at Peter and learn from Peter, I see his frailties and I see that in me as well. But I know that the Lord has called me. I know that. But the question has been, Lord, how? How do I get there? How do I get there with you? How do I get to that higher place where you want to take me? How do I get there? That deep place of intimacy, that deep place of trusting in you, Lord. Because, Lord, when I look at me, I see all my failings, all them. So how, Lord? And you know the answer's in the Word of God. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Luke 14:11. And maybe the guys can put it up on the screen for me. Amen. Amen, Jeff. Such an encourager, Jeff. And this is what it says. Okay. I'm going to pick it up from... It says, friend, move up to a better place, and then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. And then it goes on and it says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So how do you get to that deeper place with God this morning? We got to humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves and trust in the Lord for his strength. You see, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing we can do here this morning as humans to make it happen. But we have to draw on his strength. Totally draw on the Lord's strength. We have to look into the face of God and not take our eyes off of him. And we have to say, Lord, I get it's not about me, but it's all about you. All about you, Lord. So, Lord, I'm asking for strength this morning. I'm asking for strength to lean totally on you, Lord. And if God is calling you this morning, and you're looking at your failings and your struggles, I want to tell you the story doesn't end here. The story's not finished. And whatever you're failing with and whatever you're struggling with, you're in a good place. Because the Lord wants to write the next chapter. And you know what? My altar call this morning is, and I'm going to ask the team to come back, the worship team. This message has spoke to you this morning. It's between you and God. It's not between me and you. It's between you and God. I want to invite you to come and humble yourself before the Father this morning. I want to invite you to come and come out of the wilderness. Come out. If you want to go to a deeper place of intimacy, a deeper place of faith, a deeper place of ministry, a deeper place of surrender, you've got to come. You've got to start making your way out of the wilderness. You see, you're in a good place if you're on this journey. It's a good place to be at. But it's not a place where we can stay. It's a place where we have to surrender. It's a place where we have to say, okay, Lord, I surrender. I give up. And I ask for more of you, more strength, more and more and more strength from you on this journey. Less of me and more of you. And all he's looking for is a humble heart. That's all. And if you want to humble yourself before him this morning, come and we'll pray. And we'll just begin to worship. Amen.